Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Today, I get to speak with Clark Krause, who is the executive director at the Boise Valley Economic Partnership. He has over 20 years of experience in economic development, nine of which are at the helm of Boise Valley. He is an early adapter to talent retention and recruitment efforts and has some really interesting insights on what economic development means to him. Let's listen in. Clark, I really appreciate you, being on the podcast today. We really admire your leadership. I want to dive right in. What's the biggest challenge you see facing leaders today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I talk about for me, and I even asked my 17-year-old son, he had the same exact answer. You know, it's about building support and consensus. I think a lot of us, we have to deal with a lot of polar stances today. And I think the hard work for leadership today is the work in the middle that needs to be done. It's very easy to find people that, you know, on both sides that have a heavy, heavy opinion and lots of thoughts on causes and issues and efforts. But I think really we have to find a way to get to the middle these days. And I think that's really where the hard work is, which starts with a lot of listening and getting yourself from having your own polar stance and recognizing your own hidden biases and then getting to the middle of that so that you can have an understanding with someone that works for both sides.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. I think people, forget about the middle a lot. And I think that's very easy to do. So tell me about a characteristic that you think every leader should possess. And is there someone that, you've come across in your leadership journey that's really had that factor?
Yeah, I have had more than one, but I would say that the biggest thing, and I don't want this to sound Obama-ish, but I think it's hope. You have to have hope. You have to have hope leads you to a vision. And when you can get there and you can continue to, even though you're going to have lots of hardships along the way and you're going to need lots of patience, you need to continue to have hope and a vision of what the end goal looks like and really appreciate the journey. I think a lot of people get lost that, it doesn't happen overnight, so therefore we're not going to do it. Most of the really important work takes a long time. And to hang in there and to wake up every day with hope, even during the times you're going to have defeats, is really, really important.
Yeah, and a little of that grit factor too, goes a long way, and especially in economic development. And I think, leadership's hard in economic development, and it's ongoing, and it's not something that comes and goes. What's a behavior or trait that you've seen derail a leader's career, and then how do you guard against that?
The thing that comes to mind for me on behaviors that have derailed leaders really is staying right size. We need to remember that we're never entitled. And I've seen a few leaders during my time, even personally, leaders that have been part of my life professionally as well as personally, where, they kind of get this thought of they're above the law kind of thing. And it can be, you need to stay humble and tell people when you screw up and make proper amends and try to handle conflict with respect and communication. And I think sometimes we miss that. Our role takes over what is right. And I think you just have to continue to remember to do the next right thing.
Well, and you mentioned entitlement, and I know that can be a hot topic when we talk about our really young leaders and that millennial, word that, it seems to be thrown out there a lot. There's a lot of that group, though, that is, coming into economic development and they're taking on leadership roles, pretty early on in their career and they're leading organizations and communities. What's a piece of advice then you would give someone that's going into a leadership position for the first time, other than kind of what you mentioned already about, what to avoid?
Yeah, well, I look back at my career and the one thing I learned in the last 20 years in economic development is go out, meet and listen to the people you are honored to serve, and also ask them what a win looks like for them. I think sometimes we assume way too much about the people we're serving and what they want to see. I had a guy who was working for me, and we were talking to a mayor of a city one day. This is when I was running the New Mexico partnership. And Andrew Corona, who was with me, he says to the mayor, you know, well, what does a win look like for you? And honestly, his answer was not, you know, we'd spent a whole day with him and we would not have gotten that answer right for him. So I think a lot of it is really listening to your community and finding out what do they want you to be doing. It may be different than what you thought you signed up for. It may be different than what your aspirations are about. And then adjust from there, you know, talk about that and talk about why maybe a blend of theirs and yours is the best thing to do.
Yeah, that's really good because expectations, if you get those wrong, there's a lot of room for error. If you don't have the right expectations on what's needed, then you can certainly make a lot of mistakes in leadership.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, you know, find mentors. You know, I didn't have mentors when I started in economic development. And then I was able to find some mentors such as Jeff Edwards that was over in Economic Development Corporation of Utah that really helped me not be alone. And also, I think a lot of us think our board is, you know, if you have a board that you report to or you're reporting to a city manager or whomever that may be, their job is to help you. And I think sometimes we think their job is to be our boss, but that's only part of what they're supposed to be doing for you. And quite honestly, you'll find you're going to be a lot more successful if you're including people in on your effort.
I thought it was really interesting too. I read a while back how, you know, when you think about a mentor, how it's good to have someone that's both older and younger than you so you can see it from two different lenses, because there could be difference of opinion. There could be, you know, a new light that, you know, you look at a situation differently. So I think that's really good to think about.
Yeah, especially when you're 58 like I am, you better find younger mentors. You're going to run out of space.
Part of the reason we wanted to, you know, speak with you on the podcast is we know you're known as a really, you know, progressive thought leader. So as a leader, how do you continue to develop your own self? Because you can't just continue to lead others without, you know, remembering to lead yourself as well.
Yeah, it's a great question. I would go back to the mentor thing. I think a lot of times what we have done here, we invited some other communities in and have from time to time brought other leaders into the Boise Metro. I find that's a really great thing to do because, you know, if you're in a place for more than a year, you probably lost some of your objectivity. And so I have invited several economic development leaders that I've respected a great deal into the community and just had them here for a few days. And, you know, the great thing about economic developers is we all like to talk. And they like to, you know, they will come in, even though sometimes we compete against each other. I think at the end of the day, if you're not looking at best practices, you're probably getting behind. And so that's how I do it. I had New Orleans in here. I've had Kansas City in here. I've had Utah in here. We are very aware of what's happening out in the rest of the world. But unless I'm talking to those people and having them come visit and having them give some perspective, you know, we're going to fall behind and I'm going to fall behind personally and professionally. And quite frankly, sometimes it's just hearing from other people that you're probably in one of the best cities in America. You know, you get really amped when you hear their perspectives of what they're seeing in your community.
Yeah. You know, economic development is kind of it's a little club in a sense. I mean, everybody goes through the same struggles, no matter, you know, where they live, there's still a lot of the same, you know, battles that you fight. So I think it's good to be able to share those ideas with, you know, other leaders that you trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I'm on LinkedIn a lot and I see a lot of change in economic development when it comes to, you know, people moving jobs, they're moving communities, they're moving organizations, they're moving industries. Talk about that a little bit. How do you know when it's time to shift and it's time to leave a community or leave an organization and do something different?
Well, I have a pithy answer for you and then I'll give you another answer. Your governor is term limited. So I knew it was time to leave New Mexico when Governor Richardson was done. You know, he was at the end of his 8-year, and I knew that it was going to be very difficult to be a governor-supported organization that he put together and probably survive the changes. And even even to change, you know, to survive the changes, I had built something I felt really good about over the 7 years I was in New Mexico, and really didn't want to have to prove and rebuild something that we had already done a great job with. And so I think, you know, there are indications within your life that will let you know And I, you know, the only thing I would say about that after 20 years and three moves is, you know, don't forget about your family. Don't forget about how you're affecting those around you, because moves can be tough. And sometimes, you know, the grass is not greener. But I felt like all three moves that I've made from Utah to New Mexico and now to Boise, there will be an indication in your gut that tells you that, you know, either it's time for growth and opportunity, or it's time to rebuild in a different place.
That's really great. So you've been in economic development for quite some time, and you know, you've had a lot of great successes. What's that one thing, and you can think back as long as you want, or it could have been last week. What's that one thing that you are most proud of in your career?
I'm going to go a little offline here with the thing I'm probably most proudest of. I have a board of the biggest business leaders, a lot of the biggest business leaders in the Boise Metro. And the community, the city of Boise, decided to do an anti-discrimination clause, which was, we had some people that were suffering and did not have a voice in our community. This was about 5 years ago. And they asked, the city of Boise asked us to come testify about why inclusion and diversity were important. And I got to walk into that room with a unanimous decision from the people that I work for, these 150 businesses that support Boise Valley Economic Partnership. And also the chamber president was, the CEO was unable to come, and I was asked to represent them too. And I was able to testify about why diversity and inclusion need to be a very big part of your community. And those people need to have the protections that they can so that they can live a healthy life with a voice.
That's a really great story, Clark. It's definitely something to be proud of. So we appreciate you sharing that with the audience. So, you know, economic development, I love this question, is because, you know, economic development really does, it creates jobs for our future, you know, and for our future generations. So it really is a very patriotic profession. What does it mean to you to be an American?
Yeah, that was the trickiest question you had in here, by the way. What does it mean to be an American? I immediately went to people who have served our country, obviously. My father was a B-24 World War II bomber pilot. Oh, wow. And flew over Normandy. And I can't help but kind of get on my knees and remember who he was and how he served and sacrificed for this place. And so many have. So I guess I'm very thankful. I'm grateful. I'm not sure I'm worthy to answer the weight of this question. I think some of us have had opportunities that others haven't in this country. And I think that we need to continue to work to make sure that, you know, we continue to have respect for each other and a voice. I have never gone hungry, but I know there are still people in this country that do, and especially children. And I think there's work to be done. And so I feel like, you know, the next several years of my life, hopefully, that we can look at the underserved and bring them up to what, you know, some of us have been able to live, which is this American dream. I'm certainly one of them. And I'm not sure I'm worthy of what I've had and harvested across, you know, my 58 years on this earth. But I'd sure love to see us continue to work on those in need. And I think that's our duty.
Well, Clark, we certainly admire your humility, and we're all inspired by your leadership. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us on the American Job Seed podcast.
Thank you.
Wow, that was so great talking with Clark today. So next week, we'll have Jenna Cavanaugh joining us, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Invest Buffalo Niagara. She sets strategic direction of the organization and is focused on driving continuous improvement for the region. She also has some really great insight on the need for developing social skills in leadership. She has over 20 years of marketing and management experience, so you're not going to want to miss next week.